Hello, and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on gogo.com. My name is Mary Abdil, and in this show we are going to discuss the question, what is programming? To learn more about me and my background, be sure and check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions you would like to ask me, please use the question comment box below. All right, let's get started. When I tell friends I am a computer programmer, or an application developer, or even far less intuitive, a software engineer, most of them have no idea what that means. And the 60-second interactive answer only provides a partial understanding. Let's start with examples of computer programs, which are also called, or known as, applications. There are several types of computer applications. For example, the operating system on your computer consists of programs. Programs that read and write to the disk or flash drive, those that provide graphic displays on your screen or monitor, and those that load or run other programs. So the operating system, for example, Windows or Unix, or System 10, or ZOS, or MVS. These are all operating systems, and they really are composed of a number of separate programs all working together. For more examples, your word processors, your spreadsheet programs, your internet browser, your email client, all of these graphics programs, and games that you might play, and that calculator, and notepad, these are all programs as well. All of these programs were written by a programmer, actually more likely by a group of programmers working as a team. Anything that you run on your program, anything you run on your computer, is probably a program, or it may be a script that runs a program. Programs, applications, the two words are rather interchangeable. These examples are fairly easy for the non-programmer to understand and grasp. But what about the typical programs that I teach about, that I write and I also teach others to write? These are sometimes called commercial or business applications. They provide processes needed by businesses, nonprofit organizations, and government agencies. Those annoying bills you receive in the mail, they were computed and printed by some sort of billing application. When you call the phone company to get a new phone, or to get your current phone fixed, that sets off a process that includes many computer programs, from the program that assigns your new telephone number, to the program that tells the installation or repair person where you live, and where the phone jacks are in your house so that they can get connected to your new phone. There are programs that store the types of services you use, such as forwarding, call forwarding, voicemail, and how much you will be charged for these phone services. All the stored billing information will be used by the billing program when it runs and prints your monthly phone bill. There are computer applications that calculate and print employee paychecks and keep track of payments in order to calculate and print the W-2 form at the end of the year. Other programs keep track of attendance, of your vacation that you've taken, of your sick leave. A whole series of human resource programs are often customized to individual company requirements. There are many, many more examples. In brokerage firms, there are programs to buy and sell securities and keep track of the purchases and sales for each of their clients. There are programs that maintain profiles for each client to store not only their name, address, contact information, and personal broker, but also whether they are buying on margin and if they prefer speculative or conservative type purchases. These billing, information gathering, human resource, and other business process programs are typical of the programs that I and many of my students have written. In addition, there's a number of point-of-sale programs. For example, when you buy something over the internet through, say, Amazon or eBay or other company, you access a sales application specifically written for the internet with you in mind. These applications search through stored information about the products you wish to view, and then they display on your screen the items, the prices, the descriptions, the colors, whatever. They allow you to put desired products into a shopping cart, to request your shipping and billing information, and then finally to close out the sale. These online programs then connect to other programs which will complete the order and eventually ship the product out to you. Typically, application programs are written in a mixture of languages such as Java, COBOL, PL1, Assembler, C, C++, etc. They may also be partly written using a scripting language such as JavaScript, Perl, Rex, VB.NET. Scripting languages are not as powerful as full-blown languages, but they may be powerful enough for simple applications. More often, a script simply collects data and passes it to another application written in a more powerful language. There are two typical types of programs, batch and online. Batch programs are those that process data that has been periodically gathered and stored over a period of time. For example, every time you use your phone, information about the call that you made is stored. Then once a month, the monthly billing program inputs all that stored information that has been batched up over the last 30 or so days. This monthly billing program is known as a batch program because its input has been batched up. Online programs are those that directly process the user's input. Typical examples of online programs are the web applications that let you choose and buy products over the internet. There are also applications that use dedicated monitors or terminals that do not actually use the internet, but that they do allow the user to interactively input information and see the results. For example, Model 3270 and Model 5250 terminals are typical terminals that connect to the IBM Z-Series mainframe and to the IBM AS400 midsize computers. They have a display, but the display connects pretty much directly to the mainframe computer, as opposed to going through the internet and going through a whole series of computers before they finally reach the ultimate destination. There's another example of online programs, and these are known as real-time programs. They are generally used in scientific applications where there isn't even any buffering of any input. That is, input isn't even sort of temporarily staged for half a second. The program has to handle all the input immediately as fast as it comes in, and it can sometimes arrive in really, really fast spurts. Some examples are the Land Rover in Mars, the Mars Land Rover, Spirit and Opportunity. They have a number of real-time programs written in Java and C that process the data as it comes in. But you know, all of this programming, computers really do not understand any of these languages. Computers actually only understand zeros and ones. Computers have a processing unit. On PCs, we call that the CPU, the central processing unit. This processing unit has microcode that processes basic logical instructions, such as arithmetic, data movement, the order or sequence that the operations are to be done in, whether the operations are to be done repeatedly. When operations are done repeatedly, it is called looping. Whether the operations are to be done only under certain situations. These are called conditional operations. The conditional operations are often controlled with an if statement in our programming language. However, the processing units do not actually understand any of the programming languages that we code in. They only understand native machine language. Compilers are special programs that are used to convert the statements of the programming languages that we write in 2, the native machine language, the zeros and ones that a particular processor understands. And to make life more interesting, the Intel CPU is not the same as the Sun Solaris CPU, which is not the same as the IBM mainframe Xeris processing units, or the same as the AS400, etc. Each specific hardware, each specific computer hardware, assigns different meanings to the same series of zeros and ones. That is, each type of computer has its own native machine language, which is not understood by other hardware platforms. Therefore, the compiler has to take a language such as Java or C and convert it. And actually, we'll eliminate Java here. Let's talk about COBOL and C. The compiler has to take a language such as COBOL and C and convert it into the native language of that particular computer. So if we're going to take a C program and run it on Sun Solaris, then the compiler will convert it to the Sun Solaris native language. But if we're going to run it on the Z series mainframe, then we need a compiler that will convert it to the Z series mainframe native language. We might write the same programming language, but it would be converted to a different native machine language depending on the platform we wish to run it on. So bottom line, programmers write programs using languages that look like a combination of English and algebra, and compilers are used to convert those programs to native machine languages, which, after a bit more processing by some sort of a link step or a linkage editor step, ultimately become executable programs. Now, I mentioned Java being a little bit different, and the way Java is different is that the Java compiler translates a Java program to bytecode, not to native machine language. And this bytecode is actually computer independent, which is why you can take the output of a Java compile and still run it on different computers. But eventually, that bytecode has to run in something called a JVM, a Java Virtual Machine. And that Java Virtual Machine actually converts the bytecode to the zeros and ones of the native machine language. So ultimately, the Java is converted, but it's not converted instantly. It isn't converted until the program is run to the native machine languages. There are some languages, such as Rex and C-List, that are not compiled at all, but rather they are translated on the fly as they execute. But ultimately, they do have to be converted into the native machine language, or they cannot run. They cannot be executed. Now, Fortune 1000 companies have hundreds of thousands of application programmers supporting every aspect of the business. These programs range from paying employee salaries to billing their clients to point of sale to managing the warehouse to managing the production line. Programs support the robotics involved with the production line, the services and sales and internal processes of these companies. These Fortune 1000 companies and government agencies have hundreds to thousands of programmers working full-time writing and maintaining all of their programs. For example, it is not uncommon for some of these companies to run 10 to 20,000 programs every night to process batch routines. And then during the day, they have a number of online programs that are running almost all day long. I encourage you to become a programmer, and to do that, I encourage you to take courses in programming. You might consider the Enterprise COBOL series of courses that I have written for GoGo. I hope you have enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question comment box below. If you are interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio Archive for Mary Abdil. If there is a show you would like me to do, please send me an email and let me know. Thank you for your time today, and remember to tune in to the GoGo Radio, found exclusively on gogo.com.